Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, good morning, and God's morning. It is May 9th already, 2013, and we are here kicking off another powerful week with Dr. Paula Price. In her, you know, we don't even know what to call this anymore. It's not just an hour. It's not just prayer power. It's not just wisdom. It's from the throne of God. And so, Dr. Paula Price, welcome to your show.
Well, I'm glad to be here again another Wednesday. Oh, excuse me, Thursday, May 9th. I heard you say Thursday. I guess Wednesday was so wonderful for me, I didn't want to leave it. I'll say it as that. So how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. I think I'm still floating from your call on Monday night. And for those of you who did not get the message or did not have a chance to hear her, Dr. Price was on a powerful interview Monday evening with some amazing voices in the kingdom answering some tough questions pertaining to today, the church, the world, policy, all kinds of things were happening on that call.
I know. It was. It was exciting. And I tell you, it was 2 hours, and it went by quickly. I think I appreciated it because it's good sometimes to have that iron that sharpens iron, and also to hear from the kingdom, to hear what the rest of the people out there are thinking or wondering about God's world and what's going on in our world. And it's interesting also, you notice, to hear how many people have issues with God about the current events. You know, one Thursday I'm going to talk about that. You know, I'm going to talk about, you know, when they're going to get a whole bunch of questions and say, well, why did God let this happen and that happen? And, you know, we once had a man say to us, actually, you remember, we were in a meeting, and we once had a man say to us, an apostle in the kingdom, say to us that it was the church's fault that his daughter got pregnant. So I'm thinking maybe somebody in the church probably molested the girl. Not so, but the church wasn't there for her. So were they open every week? Well, yeah, they were open every week. Well, did they have any message? Yeah, they would have messages. Well, did they have any youth thing? Yeah, they had that. So was your daughter at the church when it was open, or was she with the boyfriend getting pregnant? See, sometimes even we have to figure out the limits of God's responsibility for our lives and the beginning of ours. That's an interesting thought. But anyway, I'm just glad to be here. I'm going to talk about things like that in the future. And you're right, Ashley, we don't know what to call this any longer. We're going to let all of the callers just Facebook me and tell me what they think we ought to call this Thursday.
Okay.
Sometimes the people name it better than you do. So we'll just figure out. It'll be fun to hear what they think of it. So just Facebook me and say, I think you ought to call our Thursday call this or that. That's going to be fun. And who knows, we might come up with something that we want to call it. You know, so
I agree.
You know, contribute your ideas on it.
Hey, some of the best things in life now started with somebody's idea in their house. And what they can do is they can either Facebook you or just reply to the if they're on our email list, reply to the email that goes out every week announcing the prayer call, and it will come right back to our administrator, and we'll also be able to collect that information that way.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. I'm curious to see what they would think about it and what they would call it. Every week, because, you know, we started out almost a year ago with a prayer call, and we just prayed, and then all of a sudden, we started giving some information, and then we started prophesying, and then we started other stuff, and now we don't know what we have, you know, it grew into something else. I'm always reminded that it was the people who experienced Jesus' disciples that actually named them. So who knows? Our people might name us. We'll see. I want to talk this week about, I know you have a lot of calls lined up, Ashley, and I want to get to the calls, but every week the Lord gives me just a little bit of an exhortation and at times an admonishment for us. for the body of Christ. Today, I want to talk along those lines. But I want to take it from Galatians chapter 5, verse 15, just a simple verse. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. However, if you continually bite and devour one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. This week I want to talk about something. I want to talk about church splits. You know, we don't really deal with issues like that. You know, we all talk about this one's church split and that one's church split. And people almost talk about church splits and splitting churches with glee. I mean, it's almost like, yeah, because God's going to tear that up. Yeah, because God's going to shut that down. Yeah, because God needs to get rid of that. And I thought about that because this week I had an opportunity to talk with some of my prophets about, you know, this rampant church split and the sheep all excited about tearing up another sheep pen, sheepfold. And so the Holy Spirit said to me, first of all, we are probably one of the few institutions that get excited every time one of our departments close. They get really excited when we hear, especially if you're in a church that's melting down for whatever reason. You might be in a church that, you know, the word has gone out. I'm leaving. This one's leaving. The leaders are leaving. The prophets are leaving. The ministers are leaving. Well, I have to leave. Well, you know, I just knew this wasn't going to be long. But I tell you, all of you who are on the line today, you all couldn't call me weekly if we did not agree on some basic fundamentals of Jesus Christ. And if we did not agree on some basic elements of his goal and his purpose. So let's stop being excited because Jesus has another church that Satan decided shouldn't exist, or he's decided to go after a long-standing institution because he got angry or because it got itself straight with God or it got itself worked out. I want to tell you how this thing goes. We get one disgruntled member, one. Now, this is two parts. So we get one disgruntled member, and, it's not right. And so this member goes and tells someone else in the congregation, and then the congregation gets all up in arms because, well, this isn't right and that is right. Some people don't even hear it. By the time it gets down to the break point, half of the people leaving don't even know why they're leaving. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But here's what happens. When it starts going through, only the strong people who are part of not only that church's vision, but God's vision for that church will say something is wrong. It is rare that we teach a sheep how to respond to a sword from Satan. When he decides he doesn't want to work, or he decides that work is growing, or he's deciding that he wants to take that territory, because behind the scenes, there's a devil moving in the region of that church that wants to take that territory. You see, and if you are spiritually astute, you'll see that this is a spiritual turf war, and the more Christians he gets out of the way, the more drugs and gangs and crime he can move into the neighborhood, because, see, we are the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world, and we're the watchmen. And so, this week we had the opportunity to hear about it, and one person, I've been with this church for so many years, and then the pastor just made me mad, and so me and my family just moving on. First of all, if you were at a church over 5 years and you can't talk to the pastor, you have been there faithful and they know you, then that was not a strong relationship. But secondly, where is loyalty? Where is the thing that says something is wrong? This has been a good church. This has been a good work. It has done a lot of good things. It has helped a lot of people. This is a good minister. This is a good leader. What happened to that being the first response? Why is agreement and glee over the potential demise or weakening of that work the first response? So today I want to talk to us about all of you all who are leaders out there, you all who are pastors, you all who are prophets in these churches, apostles, you who are intercessors and ministers of the house. I want to talk to you about altering first response. You know, the Bible says we overcome evil with good. And Job says, how forceful are right words. Job chapter 6, how forceful of right words. Before you decide that what you see is the cause, make sure you have visited the landscape of the spirit to make sure that the cause is not contrived by another dark power trying to come in and unseat the powers of Christ. Because I'm telling you, a long-standing church is a threat to any new move of darkness. And we need to stop thinking like kids. That's what I meant when I said in one of my earlier discussions this year about starting to think like mature sons and daughters. It's like somebody coming to decide to put your family out on the street for no good reason. And in order to do that, they'll antagonize one of the children of the house, maybe get one on drugs, maybe get one in rebellion, maybe get a new friend or a new set of friends coming into the family unit who are infecting it. But I would like us to think bigger. And so when I thought about it, and I thought about this particular person talking about, you know, how he and his family have been with this church over 2 decades, and you're happy about watching it go under, that's a scary thought. And God said, make sure that you are not devoured by one another. I will tell you one thing. That's my first thought. Everybody that's hearing this today, before you get excited about your church going through and your church going in trouble, you need to get your newspaper. Go out in your neighborhood and find out what dark power is coming in. Is there a witch moving in that neighborhood? Is there a bar? Is there a casino? What's coming in that needs that church's strength out the way? Because you can rest assured, before that thing starts hitting the congregation in the spirit, those powers sent something in that church to weaken its hedge and weaken its stronghold. And they do it with unstable members or members who don't even know why that church exists. And so I want to say that to you. I don't care if the church is 5,000 strong or 5 strong. That daily prayer, that daily intercession, that keeping the heavens open in that neighborhood is keeping a light in the window. Sometimes the church is just a candle in the window. Other times it's a stadium flood on the neighborhood. Whichever it is, we need to be the light. And I would say to all of you all who have been a part of a church split or a church's demise, you need to clean that up with God, because God says what you sow is what you reap. When your precious thing is born and that precious thing of yours is full grown, God is not going to cover that either, because you assume that he would care more about your personal interests than he cares about his churches, which are saving lives and families. So I want to say that because, you know, as you can see, this has been really, really burning in my soul. And it's amazing when you hear people, I've heard them in lines and supermarkets and in stores, yeah, well, you know, that's going down. Well, who in the world says that? Can somebody tell me how many families you wanted to hear somebody say, yeah, that family's going down. I mean, that's going down. Yeah, out. You know, in the world, when major flagship institutions get in trouble, they rally around because they know what it means to have that kind of a hit and the rippling effect of that kind of a hit. And so that's the one thing I want to say to you today. When, you know, the other thing is beware of groupthink. You know, when that spirit comes in and he takes over, he becomes the deciding or the factor in the dissenting votes. And that thing talks to people, and it gives them false dreams, and it gives them false revelations. It'll even send a false prophet in there or a weak prophet in there, because sometimes prophets are just too immature to know how to rightly read the landscape of the land, and will send in false words. It'll start having families talking about, well, you know, it's time for us to move on. It'll even send you false opportunities and false dreams and false visions to tell you it's time for you to go out and start your own. Now, you don't know anybody. You have barely made prayer every week. All you do is know how to gather your family in or whatever, and now you're going to go out and on your own, take yourself out from under the prayer covering of that church, of that organization. And so people are talking about, well, you know, churches are closing. You know, we're losing 5,000 churches a year. Why? Because we also gained how many casinos? How many casinos did we gain over the years? How many states turned to the voting and the gambling? How many gangs did we gain over the year? How many drug things did we see? Because when the church went down, darkness went up. 2 + 2 = 4 people. So the darkness rose, and the reason that church fell was not because the minister or the people or they've gone in the wrong direction. It had to do with a bigger power. And when you're in God's kingdom, it's always about land power. It's always about soul power. It's always about gathering from the light into the darkness. So the next time somebody talks to you about a church split, or the next time somebody talks to you about this church is in trouble and or that church is in trouble, or somebody comes to your church from a church that's in battle, don't be too excited about receiving them, because they might be bringing that flame to your house. And I mean the flame of demise to your house. We need to start being good professionals in this thing. Let's find out what's going on with brother this and sister that. Call them up if they don't want to talk to you, because sometimes when you're in a battle, you don't trust anybody. And so if they don't want to talk to you, don't take it personal. Take it to God in prayer and begin to pray that thing up. Put your own intercessors on assignment, because I want you to understand we didn't lose ground by the droves at one time. We lost ground church by church, preacher by preacher, telling some sheep that they ought not to be there. Some sheep being able to go and lie on a leader and never have to prove it. Never have to prove it. That is a scary thing that we have become. Let's see if we can turn some of this around. And it only takes a little bit. Let's not just be so excited when a wounded sheep come in and say, well, I'm wounded because the pastor, whatever, because there are always two sides to each story. And Proverbs says the first man seems right until the second man tells his side. So when it comes to it, let's talk about why are you leaving this church? Well, they're in this and they're in that. Then investigate. They may be right. They may be wrong. If they're right, that's one thing. But if they're wrong, you need to not encourage these people to be in error, because that reverberates back on their homes. It reverberates back in their job, their economy. It reverberates back into their lives and their families. Because every time you are part of tearing down God's house, your house cannot stand. You can rest assured that I've watched it over 30 years. That same sword becomes daggers in your own home. Because you cannot ask God to think more about your home than he thinks about the church that he said the gates of hell would not prevail against. And that's an interesting statement, so I'll end it on this point. The Lord Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, and many sheep don't know what the gates of hell are. Well, let me tell you what they are. They're the government. They're false prophets. They're ambassadors of another country, another realm. They're laws. They're community activists. They're lobbyists. They're powers of darkness that are coming. They don't come openly like you see. They come like casinos got in. They come like gambling got in. They come like gangs got in. When you understand this, you realize that whenever a dark power moves in your neighborhood, you need to shore up that church and your own, because that's a turf war, people. That was not somebody, some preacher who made a bunch of sheep mad and so they left. If you're a prophet and a watchman on the wall, you ought to know that. That thing ought not have come into your neighborhood without you knowing it. I know when things are coming into the planet. So I know that God is telling you prophets and apostles when something is coming into your region and into your sphere. And that is a time for you to start acting before it hits. Because when it shows up in the spirit, you can rest assured there's a 12 month to 10 year lag that before that thing shows up, depending on how big it is and how powerful a force it is. And so let's not get so excited. And even if a leader falls, let's start thinking the way God thinks about his secular institutions. When one of them falls, they don't close the work. They change the head. So if the leader falls in sin, let's change the head. And you don't have to worry about it. Well, you know, he won't sit down. If enough God's people ask me, would two or three gather together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. If two of you agree, it's such and anything on earth, I will do it. That means if you ask me to change a godless head, I'm going to change it. If you ask him to save a work and just change the headship, then God will do that. He will do that in 101 different ways. I've watched him do it over the years. So let us not be so excited about Jesus' sheep scattering. And let us not be so eager to start our own work that we think we're going to be insulated from repercussions because of the work that we have right now wounded or injured. Let us be a little bigger about this. That is my admonishment for today, and I just kind of gave it to you. I was asking God what to say. He said, tell them how I see it, because it's easy the way we see it theologically and all of that. But let's look at the king. Jesus Christ is a person. He's a king with a huge responsibility, and he has responsibilities for all sorts of things. Let us, who are his leaders, his under-shepherds, his under-rulers, let us do our parts too. And let us be a lot more circumspect. Let's start caring for what he cares for, loving what he loves, protecting what he needs. Then we'll have a lot more strength for keeping out and putting down what he doesn't. All right, so Ashley, I'm done. And I know that you're not going to let me run past that. So I'm done with my part of it.
Have mercy, Jesus. That was school, people. That was school. I hope you understand that. I was taking notes. Myself, being a prophet and having gone through some church splits as well, but that That is powerful wisdom and counsel. I have to applaud you. You know, you won't do it yourself, but for the pragmatism that you bring to the office and how we handle these things. Even though we go to church with flesh and blood, we see people every day, we give so much credit to the invisible powers that be that we don't really take into account our personal responsibility to stopping them, because that is our job. And the things that you said on here, I know I'm going to go back and listen. And even when we promote this particular call again, we're going to highlight that, how to prevent and how to identify when your church is about to go through a split. And
yeah.
Your responsibility, how about this? You may be part of the problem and not even realize that how many people over all the years, I mean, I've been in ministry with you 13 years just from the basic, you know, this is where I'm going to church to where I am in leadership now. But how many people over the years are blindsided themselves that they have been used by the hand of darkness to bust down a church?
The number is unbelievable.
Having this kind of counsel is like, wait a minute, am I playing into the enemy's hand for this? Because your flesh gets involved and you get all fired up and you're like, yeah. That groupthink that you talked about is powerful. And I remember the first time you taught us that years ago about how nobody says anything to each other, but everybody starts falling into the same line of thinking, and it's almost never for anybody's good. You notice that?
Never, no.
It's somebody up. Like, we all want to agree on something. It's to destroy and not build. And so that's powerful. I'm not going to belabor the moment because I'm going to send everybody back through the recording to listen to it or download it. By all means, share it later, because that is rich.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's so interesting I wanted to say? I want to give you just a few pointers to find so that you know whether or not you're being used by an invisible power, because sometimes you don't realize it. But when you start thinking, all of a sudden you start thinking evil of your leadership and evil of your church when you never have before, that's the mark there. All of a sudden you start having contrary visions when their voices start irritating you and you don't know why. I mean, or even when they start ministering, you're thinking, that ain't God. You have this other voice in your ear talking about, man, how long are you going to listen to this? It's about 5 years. You could do that. When you start having egotistical comments pop up in your head, you can do that. You should have to submit. You know God. You've been saved as long as they have, and on and on and on. You need to start challenging instead of championing those thoughts. You start challenging those thoughts. Wait a minute. I had to start doing that about a lot of things. We as peers and colleagues in the kingdom, we need to start doing that too. Wait a minute. Why am I suddenly thinking this? People start bringing me things about other folks. I ask them two questions. Number one, why me? And number two, what do you want me to do with that information? Because their answer to those two questions will tell me what their motives are. So, yes. Do go back and listen to it, and I'd be love to hear your comments, your feedback. Again, you can always email me. You can always, you know, tweet me and Facebook me. I do read that. I mean, I may not get it all the same day, you know, sometimes I might get a little later. But and you can always, if you want to get faster attention, email Prophet Ashley. She goes through them, like, all day long. And so if you want to be heard, we want to hear your thoughts. But I think that one of the important duties of an apostle and a prophet is to secure the houses of faith, to secure the body of Christ, to secure the congregations of the Lord. That's our job. So we ought not to be jumping on board when something is dying. We ought to be the emergency service. We ought to go into the emergency plan and start investigating what's going on. And let's see if we can save some of these words. I don't care if they're five. You know, your eyeball is not as big as your arm, but guess what? You need it.
Oh, praise God.
Okay, you lose all your eyelashes, you'll know the damage. So we need every member in the body doing their share. Nobody says anything about the eyeball cell, talking about, well, because you're so small, you're not important. You don't say that. You say, you know, you need your eye. You need that. And so I'm going to really be hitting that throughout the next couple of years, and I would like a couple of you apostles and prophets out there to join me, and let's bring this body of Christ back together again. I don't care what your denomination is. I don't care what your faith is. Let's see to it that Jesus' numbers start skyrocketing again instead of diminishing just because Satan wants to come in and take his territory. It's our job to keep the land, so let's keep it. Okay, who's my first caller?
Woo, praise God. Okay, first caller today is Monique. She is actually a first-time caller, and so Monique is from Maryland, and she is calling for prayer for her marriage. Monique, welcome to the show. You are live with Dr. Price.
Well, hello, Monique. How are you doing?
I'm great. And yourself?
I am, as you can see, I'm magnificent and on fire for the Lord.
Amen.
It's hard not to be after that, right? Now, you're from Maryland, right?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Great, great. I seem to get a lot of calls from that area. I must need to visit over there sometime.
Yes, you should. You should.
How can I bless you?
Just prayer for my marriage. I don't know. Just prayer for the marriage. A lot is going on. I'm sorry.
How long have you been married?
This July will make it 3 years.
So you're still in the newlywed thing where you're trying to understand each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those days. But listen, are you both saved?
No.
Okay, see, because you knew I was going to ask you that, didn't you? When you called me, you should have known. She's going to ask me that. Now, which one of y'all not saved? I can guess, but I'm just going to go on and let you just go on and tell me. Which one of you all are not saved?
My husband.
Mm-hmm. And so you've been saved how many years?
At least over 10.
Over 10, like what, you were a kid when you got saved, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. See, here's the thing. I'm going to pray for your marriage because God says that the, you know, saved wife can sanctify her husband. So I'm going to pray for your marriage because it's very important to God that we have less divorce in the kingdom and more successful marriages. But I want to tell you something, and I will say this to you, and I'll say this to all of these other people who are on this call. It's kind of difficult to say, all right, I want you to pray for my marriage when you're coming in with two different gods.
True. Mm-hmm.
See, we've been taught. Now, let me tell you, this is not your. I'm not hanging this on you. I'm just using this as an example because trust me, the way you guys are fed today, I don't know how anybody knows the name of Jesus. But so many foolish theologies and foolish indulgences are given for the sake of. And so, I want to say this to you: marrying outside of your faith is what the church calls it. Marrying to another god is what the Lord calls it.
Okay.
So we have to make sure that we're on the same page. I don't care if that other god is drugs, if it's work, if it's self, whatever. It is a spirit that is not in congruency with Christ, and you don't think it matters until you're married. Like when you're dating, it's almost like, yeah, well, you know, we get along. You know, we just don't talk about religion.
Mm-hmm.
But see, this is not when you get married, you realize it's not religion. It is who's serving what. And so all of you on the line today, Monica, just take yourself out of the equation right now because I'm dealing with this issue. I need these ministers to stop telling people it doesn't matter or to stop telling you marry him and get him saved. If you could have got him saved, trust me, you would have been on the cross. You can't get somebody saved and a man in love with a woman to say anything. And if he doesn't want to be single anymore, he'll say three times anything. But his heart is what you're looking for. And so if you tell God, I want a husband, God will release you to all the available husbands out there. If you say, I want a saved man, that shrinks the pool. Then you say, I want a saved man who loves you, that shrinks it a little more. And if you say, I want a saved man who loves you more than me and who will obey you, that shrinks it even more. Which is why you need to have the strength to wait and stand. So I'm going to pray for your marriage because God is faithful. But God may not save your husband for years. And what's happening is he doesn't know that he's fighting the Christ in you. He has no idea why he's irritated for no reason, why all of a sudden this frustrates him. You know, you got to hide and say grace. You got to hide and read your Bible. It's almost like working for a secular job. You know, you can't talk about Jesus, can't bring it up, can't pray and play your music, and this is your house. So, it could be a while. I just want to tell you that because I don't like telling people that God is going to save them. Because I'm telling you, I bet you on this line, and the people who listen to this call, I bet you if I could take a poll, a lot of them will tell you, well, yeah, but God finally saved him. But finally could have been 5 years. And for some women, I know it's been 30 years. And eventually the marriage, the love for each other prevails to tame it. But you still don't get what you expect. And so I want to say to all of you women out there, all of you brothers out there, Stop thinking that just because you go to different churches, you one to the mosque and another to a temple and another to someplace else, that that's the only issue. It really is a God issue, because salvation for the Christian is Jesus Christ moving into your vessel, moving on the inside. So now what we have to do for you is pray for you to get coping strategies and ideas and mechanisms, and pray for you to have faith and patience for God to do the work in him that he needs to do. And oftentimes when we marry these people, that work takes longer than it would if we had waited. You know, I mean, you dangle a carrot, you're like, oh, you're going to break that will earlier than after I've had my meal. So I just want to say to you, it's going to be a while. Believe me when I tell you this, it's going to be a little bit, because this man has a whole lot of childhood visions himself that don't include church.
Mm.
Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't love you. I would never say that, because I believe that in the soul realm, in the case of soul to soul and flesh to flesh, the love is there. But the antagonism comes from both to the two conflicting destinies at this time. You know, when you read your Bible, just to show you what I mean, if you read your Bible, you go to Genesis, I believe it's Genesis 5, which talks about all the generations of Adam. And if you go to Matthew, it talks about the generation, singular, of Christ. That tells you that's two different lineages.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to be at peace, because, you know, I don't know who your pastors were. I don't know who your counseling were. I don't know any of those things. And I'll tell you the truth. If a couple decides that they want to get married, one being unsaved and one saved, rather than sanction their fornication, I'll marry them, because God said it's better they marry than burn. But you realize you're going to have trouble in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all of those factors go into it. Are we okay, Monica? Because you done got quiet on me, girl.
Yes, that's Monique. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm listening to you.
I want you to hear this, because it's going to be a while. It's not going to change. You know, all of the kissing, hugging, good meals, and hot sex in the world cannot lead a person to the cross. If it could, prostitutes would be saved, and so would they jobs.
You're right.
So that obviously is not the way to a cross. Okay. So we have to find the right way, which is the message of Christ. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for your husband. And we're going to pray for God's mercy. But when you hang up, you're going to need to talk to God about this.
Okay.
Father, thank you so much for Monica. I thank you for that she is your daughter. She is your child. And I thank you, Lord, that you love her deeply with an everlasting love. But I also, Lord, praise you that you will let her know that some decisions still must be a joint effect between you and her. So, Lord, I'm asking that you would give her peace in her heart. I'm asking that you would bring peace to that husband and peace to the home, even though they have this friction of difference. And then, God, I'm going to ask that you would begin to work on his soul, that you can bring him through to the cross and to the redemption of Jesus Christ. Lord, whatever it is that's standing in his way, I thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you that you go after it and you remove it. But, Lord, while you're doing so, give this wife the patience to stand, the faith to keep on praying and keep on holding on, and the endurance to see this work through to the end. Lord, she chose to be a part of the other side of his redemptive process. So, God, I'm asking that you would give her the endurance and the durability to see it through. And I ask that you would bless their house, God, with peace. No matter what, your daughter is there. Therefore, we can hope for peace. We can ask for peace, because the Prince of Peace is there. And we ask for rest, and we ask, God, that on whatever levels they can communicate, let them communicate. It's one, on whatever levels they can agree, bring them into agreement while you work the work that it takes to make this a couple in your kingdom, Lord, and not just a married son or daughter. I praise you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Monica, you go to God and you talk to him about this. And he's going to tell you what he feels, because you'll hear the rest of it. But go to him and talk to him about it, and then covenant with him that you're going to stand and help work with him to see this through.
Yes?
Yes?
All right. Yes.
God bless you. God bless you, daughter.
Thank you. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Monica, Ashley, who's next?
We're going to take a 90-second breather. And then we're going to come back with Ronald from Georgia, also another first-time caller.
All right.
All right, we'll be back in 90 seconds.
would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your Ministry Assessment Questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
Okay, we are back, Dr. Price, with Ronald from Georgia. Ronald, you are live on the line with Dr. Price. He's a first-time caller, Dr. Price, and he's going to give you a very brief overview of his resume, probably the fastest bulleted resume I've ever heard. And he wants to know, is he on the right path with God?
Well, hello, Ronald, and thank you for calling today. Welcome. I didn't even get a chance to welcome Monica. I hope that she's still around to pick this up so she knows that we are glad she called. I want to take, before we talk, Ronald, I want to take and welcome all of my first-time callers and thank God for you and pray God's blessings on you. Even if I don't get you today, know that I'm glad that you called and that I want you to continue to call so that we can make a connection in the future. Okay, so Ronald from Georgia, tell me about what you have going on.
Well, good morning, Dr. Price. What I have going on is I know for a fact that I shouldn't be doing anything unless God is asking me to do it. I have served 12 years in the Army. After serving in the Army, I did 8 years in the executive protection field, which is basically bodyguard work for high-profile clientele. I left there, moved to Atlanta, and became the president of one of the largest entertainment businesses here in Atlanta, became president, but left about a year ago to establish my own executive protection company here in Atlanta. What I don't know and what I don't feel yet is that this is where God wants me, and I don't want to do something at all in life, but especially in business, if this is not what God wants of me, and that's what I don't know, and that's what I'm calling in for.
Well, I'm glad you called me. Let me ask you a question, Ronald. What makes you feel or sense this is not it? What's hindering your certainty? I'll say it like that.
I guess I've always moved upwards and forward, and after leaving my last job as president, I'm not sure if this is a step down or a step forward. Of course, owning your own company and running your own company is always wonderful. I just feel like there's a lot of doors being closed on me. And I'm just not sure if those are doors of lessons being taught to me, or if I'm being redirected somewhere else, which I just don't see yet.
Okay, so a couple of things I want to say to you. Let's walk this through a little bit. Did you start with a clientele? Did you start with a customer base of any kind?
Yes, I have a clientele from when I did executive protection before. I have some very high profile clientele. I've reached out to all of them, but it just doesn't seem to be progressing the way I thought it would have, given that I did so well with that clientele.
Well, you understand. Let me tell you a couple of things. What's happened to you happens to, listen, whether it's ministry or business, it's the same thing. First thing you have to know, when you work for a company, your reputation is not what's validating your work. It's the reputation of that company. It's business holdings, it's how it does business, it's its practices, it's its policies, right on up to its ability to hire and retain the right people. So what you did for those people, they don't consider that something you did for you or that you personally did for them. They considered you as an agent of their company, and they considered that company as a service that they contracted. So you don't really get brownie points from that for that. except for getting another job with another company. And that's often the case. You know, we've had a ministry where somebody will leave a big ministry, take their database with them, and think that they're ready to go after it. And in the end, they can't get a breakthrough because people were content with the company. See, so as long as you stay with that company, or if you branched off as a franchise of that company, they would consider you having left, and the company just went on and got another highly qualified employee to do the job. So that's the first problem that we run into when we step out on our own. And this is normal. That's why they say it takes about 5 years for you to get anything new off the ground. So that's the first thing you have to realize, that those people genuinely were not trying to validate you as a business owner. They were validating you as an employee of a company that they'd already approved of. So that's why they won't get you back. Now, the next day, when you start something new, you actually become part of the competition now. So you're not just a wonderful guy who has got a great idea, which I think is a great idea. Trust me, this is going to end on a good note, but let's walk out the wisdom, okay?
Okay.
But so you're not just a guy, a brilliant, aggressive go-getter with a great idea. You are now competition, and you're competition for the big guys and the little guys, and you have to create, you know, your place. For example, one destination, one word for destiny, that as we use it, one word for destiny is quarry. Q-U-A-R-R-Y, quarry, like quarry and rock. Because
okay.
the walls of destiny are so tight, so compacted, that they can be a stone-like obstacle. I mean, that's one of the reasons that we do that play when we think about the Ten Commandments being quarry out of the rock, you know? Destiny is that. And so spiritually speaking, you literally have to quarry, carve your place in this hard, closed, compacted environment, and establish yourself and distinguish yourself. And you know, saying that you work from this company and that company, those are helpful. But nobody wants to take a chance on anything new, not a big thing. So the two things that you're facing are also the two things that you're well-equipped to conquer.
Sure.
And that's the truth. You're well-equipped to conquer them, but you are going to need the patience, and you're going to probably try, if I were you, I would consider trying to connect your business as an independent contractor to something else. Maybe catch somebody else's overflow work, you know?
Okay.
Someplace where people can see that you are able to bring them that same level of talent and expertise. And then I want to go online to say, make sure that you are actually bringing them like for like, point for point, service for service, the same level of expertise, and not bending them a lesser version because there's less of you, less resources, less people, less staff, and all of that. Because people sometimes don't want to suffer with you as you grow up. They just don't want to be the guinea pig that you practice on, and they don't want to invest their money in that. So my thought would be, if you can find someone that you can kind of tag team with, we'll take your overflow work, we'll take your little work, and earn your stripes, because you have to earn your stripes as a newcomer to this whole field, you know, because before you were accepted as a part of somebody else who would earn their way. Now you have to earn yours right now. They call it dues paying, and you know what that is, because you
okay, yeah.
have to pay dues. You pay dues
right.
all your life, so that's how we
right.
go, okay? And you are going to succeed at this if you press your way. But
okay.
I would tell you, try to stop doing it alone. Try to find some partners, some helpers or backers or something. You know, try doing that before you start thinking that this isn't God. God is with you. I'm going to go on record to say this. God is with you, but he wants you to recognize building your own or helping another man's is two different streams of effort. And the pace of reward for each one is slower. One is slower than the other. It's going to take you longer to get your reward unless you fall into divine connections, which I'm going to pray for you today.
Okay.
But it's still going to take what it takes, because you are now a rival in this field. You're a competitor. And those people have talked to their customers, their client base, and some of the clients that you've reached out to have called back to the company to let them know that you're doing this. So you have, you know, you've engaged a whole other dimension of warfare that is normal. It just goes with the territory. But you still have that. So it's going to take a little bit because now they're gearing up to protect themselves. I don't care if they're gearing up with sales and discounts and special promotions, whatever, but because that's what they do. And giants can take care of themselves a lot easier than David with the five stones.
Right.
You know, and so I don't think that you're going to fail at this. I really don't. But I do think that you're going to have to rethink some of your strategies. Go back through and reconsider being alone for a long time. You know, because I try to tell people often because we, you know, successful people are successful because they make what we admire look easy. The reason they make it look easy is because they've got all the kinks out the way, they've paid all the dues, they've bit the bullet on this and that, they've gone through all that. They know, okay? So they make it look easy. But what by the time we get to the point, or they get to the point that we admire them, they have cleared all of this out. They've gone through what you're going through. So they look successful. That company you left looked very successful because it had paid its dues. It you know, ridden the storm, fought its wars, all of those kinds of things. So we never, ever hear about that. So when we admire them or what we aspire to a finished work. And we never most of us are not ever aware of the process and the journey along the way. And that is why when we step out on our own, we go into shock. We're literally traumatized at the volume of resistance and the lack of resources and the lack of acceptability. And how about this, the disdain that we get for being new.
Right.
You know, people just snubbed you. No, folks just loved you last month, but now you snubbed me, you know? And so that's just how it is because what people were celebrating was something they'd already celebrated, the company that they had already cleared and approved of. They were celebrating us for being a part of that, not us for being on our own.
Right.
So you're going to have to just rethink some things. That's all. I don't know how it's affecting you economically. You may need to partner with somebody else who's doing it because even if you had a partnership, then you would be weighted on your own merits as opposed to being a number in a company. But you may have to partner with some people. Again, I would suggest that you – I would also suggest that you try to talk to the people who are doing this business because sometimes they might – rather than allowing yourself to remain a competitor, they might want to, you know, hand you something as an independent contractor so that you can make a name for yourself.
Okay, I receive that.
Yeah, I know you would because you're a man of wisdom. And the reason that I can give you all of this is because I did all of that. And I'm telling you, it takes the time it takes. Success takes the time it takes. And you don't get the prize until you defeat everything that you want to rule over. So, that's right now to disrespect, to neglect, to indifference, to dismissal, all of those things, you have to defeat all of those and as you move up the ladder. And you are well able to do this, Ronald. So I'm not going to say you aren't able. Everything in your soul says you're able. But I will say you may have to go back and retrace a few things, go back over a little bit of ground, but and really have to – I'm going to pray that God gives you a particular uniqueness that allows you to be distinguished from so many folks out there because what you're doing, there are a lot of people out there. A lot of people are leaving the military now,
sure.
You know? And so, you know, you might want to invest in somebody else's business. And I don't know what you know, how you feel about that, but you might want to invest in somebody else who's not just getting started but early, you know? So there are a lot of ways for you to succeed, but if you decide to go the alone route, it's going to take a while.
Okay.
So really rethink that. God, I thank you for Ronald. I thank you for who he is. Lord, and I thank you for his strength and his fortitude, his determination and resolve. Now, God, I'm asking that you would connect him with those that you've assigned to be a partner or a party to his progress and his journey in this business. I'm asking that you would also grant him opportunities, God, starting with small but moving to great rapidly, but grant him opportunities to connect with people who can establish him in this work. I'm asking that you would give him mentors and that you would give him training opportunities and association opportunities where he can meet others who are doing this and, God, fast-track this thing according to your wisdom and according to your grace. And I thank you for doing it for him, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Price. Thank you.
Thank you, too. God bless. Who's next, Ashley?
That was good. Business school. We've gone to ministry school, business school. I feel like I'm in school. You just rotate around on your calendar. to see what's next and what's going on. Okay, Dr. Pricey, I'm going to connect you right now with Prophet Nikki from North Carolina. This is also her first time speaking with you today. A lot of first-time callers getting through. She is calling you today for direction, guidance, and clarity concerning her next move after college. She's out of college. She's looking for a job. She's looking out of state, in state. She said she did speak with Prophet Tala, and so she's supposed to take her assessment, but her money got a little funny.
We know about that
Prophet
money going
Nikki
funny.
Is on the line.
Well, hello.
God bless you.
Hello, God bless you. Money got a little funny. I understand. In this economy, money's laughing at a lot of people.
Yes, ma'am. I've been on the line before. We've talked, and you've scheduled a conference time that I spoke with your daughter, Prophet Tala Price.
Yes.
I've been on the line before. It's just been a while since I've been able to come on early and try to get in the little queue, but I've been here. Yes, ma'am.
Amen. So now what? Now you said you finished college. Is that what you said?
Yes, ma'am. I finally finished. I got my associate's degree in healthcare. But it's like I really pictured this being a little different, and I know that a lot of people, when they come out of college, it's hard to find a job. But for some reason, I figured that it was not going to be the way that it is or the way that it has been for me. So I'm looking. I'm in South Carolina. I'm in Greenville. But I'm looking at other states. I'm looking at other places. It's almost as if I'm at a four-way, not knowing what to do. It's like, okay, God, I'm acting in faith. I'm putting in the resumes. I'm even going on some interviews, but nothing after that. And everything else seems to be crumbling as far as finances, as bills, and even though I'm decreeing and declaring and believing God and trying to move into the things that I know that I should be doing as far as looking for a job and things of that nature, but everything on the home front is diminishing as far as finances for my bills and my rent and different things that I need to just maintain a regular life, not even the extra. I can't be a blessing to anybody else when it's like I'm already at the negative before the next month comes in. And I'm really not knowing. I'm almost in tears because I'm really not knowing what else and where mm-hmm. else and trying not to be frustrated. I'm kind of getting there a little bit, and I know that is blocking what I need to hear or what I need to see. It's like I don't know what else to do. It's like, okay, I'm standing, Lord, but in the standing, what else do I do? Because the bills are not stopping. The bills and the late fees and the notes and the this, that, and the other. And I'm like, okay, God, I don't know what else to do now.
Well, let's talk about a couple of things. Do you have any other skill? Like, do you tithe? Do you do office work? What other skills do you have while you're waiting?
Yes, ma'am, because I went to administration in the healthcare setting, but yes, ma'am, I do have administration skills, just regular. Even if you're in healthcare or whatnot, it's still, you know, same administration skills, Word and Excel and different things and database applications and all of that. Yes, ma'am, I do have that, and I'm not just looking in the health field, you know.
Let me finish my thought, because see, I'm gonna pray you down off the ceiling now, because see, you've been pushed way too far, so I'm gonna pray you down because you've got a lot of stress, and I don't want you to have that. I want you to hear me, but I asked you that question because I wanted to know if you can temp. Are there some, you know, can you sign up with some temp agencies?
Yes, ma'am. I've been sending my resumes with them too.
But are you on the books to temp with some agencies? And the reason I say that is because sometimes even what you're looking for is coming out of another pile. But let me just pray this, because I want you to come down off that stress. That's not going to be good for your heart and your joints and all of that. So let's pray you down. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this wonderful woman. Lord, I'm asking that you speak through my mouth exactly what it is that you have in store for her and what you're doing, what you're working in her life right now. In the interim, Father God, we ask that you would give her a supernatural peace and that blessed assurance that you are in control and that everything is going to be all right for her. God, take away the anxiety, take away panic. God, give her the ability to sleep at night, and God, let her know that you are in charge and that you're leading her in the good and right way. And I bless you for doing it, Father, in the awesome name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, I want to ask you another question. I'm going to go off topic for just a second. Go with me, okay? Why do you call yourself Prophet Nikki?
Why?
Yes.
I was ordained as a prophet last year.
Okay.
I was a couple of prophets. Yes,
ma'am. Who ordained you?
My pastors.
Your pastors ordained you as a prophet. For their church? Were you a prophet to work in their church?
No, not just to be in their church.
Okay, there are a couple of things that I want to talk about, because, see, God is in a different frame today. Yes, you do need a secular job, but like you said, you walk in the office of the prophet. What does that mean to you? What does that look like every day?
Labels for my faith. My daily thing, basically, because I'm not working, is laying on my faith, interceding. I'm an intercessor, praying, hearing God. I preach, I teach, I go out, I have without any ministers.
Here's where I'm stuck. This is where I'm stuck, so let's cut to the chase on this matter. Here's where I'm stuck. If you are Prophet Nikki and you say you walk in the office of a prophet and the pastors put you in the office of a prophet and that's not paying, and then you finish school to get this associate degree to get this job and that's not paying, there is a conflict between you and God. So either you should not have been put in that office that soon, or they should have put you in that office with something for you to do. Because you don't need to be put in an office to lay on your face and pray, to intercede. That's not an officer's work. An officer's work is a job. That means a real career, a real ministry. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. An officer's work is a job. You have an institution that you are assigned to. That institution is taking responsibility for you and more than just opportunities to preach. That means that, for example, if you were in an organization, let's say you were in a large organization, denomination, and that denomination ordained you as a prophet, they could do it because they have a bunch of places to send you and a bunch of doors to open for you to go and do your calling. But an officer in any position is assigned to an institution that is responsible for seeing to it that this person whom they have authorized, this person has now got their authority to go out and take a piece of their vision, a piece of their mission, or some department in their business or their ministry, and to act on their behalf and to receive remuneration for it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So we need to find out if God needs you assigned to an institution. And if that's how he's going to take care of you. Because right now, it seems like with you and God, there is a confusion on what, in fact, you're supposed to be doing for him ministerially. And he's not responding. It has been my experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can speak to you after having walked with this man. I have visited. I have seen him. I have handled him. I'm telling you, it has been my experience with this man that when he refuses to answer and refuses to provide, it is because he has something else he wants you to do. He has put your economy someplace else. So my next question to you is, should you be looking to move on? Are you still there?
Yes, I am. I'm just listening to everything you said. Should I be looking to move on?
Right. Is your time up in that land? Or should you be somewhere along the line, either when you were ordained as a prophet, God took it more seriously than you did, or you were prematurely ordained? You know, I don't know, because to me, for pastors to ordain anyone as a prophet, they're ordaining them for that church, because it's very difficult to create a work for a prophet, you know? I mean, maybe they have a prophetic company going on. I don't know. But I'm saying something about your ordination, stranglehold, put a stranglehold on your ability to work, something God wants you to get. So I'm going to pray. And I want you to do me a favor. I'm going to pray, because this thing has to do with you being a prophet. I can tell you that emphatically, that this thing has something to do with you being a prophet, either you're going to be it or not. And I would caution everybody who's out there on this line, and I can say this after all of this time, having examined this office, and I know it inside and out on many, many fronts, not every front, but on many, many fronts. If you don't have any place to put an officer, don't make one. If you don't have a work for an officer to do, then don't ordain anybody into the office, because you don't hold that office. That office is held by Jesus Christ and his assigned institutions. Now, if you want to lay hands for somebody to have a license to go preach, then go with it all day long. But when you start talking about making officers, your institution is supposed to be back in that, assigning that, because that's why you do it. The reason banks make officers is because banks have work for folks to do as officers. Real estate make agents and officers because they have an officer work to do. When we look at it, I'm looking at us, we're an institution of making officers to come from no place, go nowhere. And not profit in the process. People like you, Nikki, are in trouble because of this. So that is why I'm making this statement. I'm praying for God to, first of all, speak to you about the reason he told you to be a prophet. I want him to reveal that to you and to revisit you on that reason. And then the visions that he told you that he had for you as a prophet, you know, whether it's in church with your pastors, covering your pastors, or what. But I want him to reveal that. You know, God is getting his church in divine order, and he is not playing with apostles and prophets concerning it. You know, and so he's going to have us to stop doing it. Let's stop slapping titles on people and stop giving these wonderful ceremonies for them to wake up the next day with nothing else to do. It's kind of like what happened to you. You graduated school. They just didn't promise you anything but an education, which they gave you. But you graduated school, woke up and said, ha-ha, I'm ready for the workplace. And the workforce said, well, that's nice. So I'm going to pray for you to get a job, because I know you need to do this, but I'm telling you, you and God have issues about this prophet thing. That much I can tell you. And I'm going to ask God to give you an opportunity to work and to pay your bills. But this thing he wants to talk to you about this. And you're going to hear from God within the next 3 to 8 days. God's going to talk to you on this matter. He's going to wake you up. You're going to walk the floor. He's going to wake you up, and he's going to sit you down in that chair, and he's going to talk to you face to face about what he wants from you. You notice I never said you weren't a prophet. I never said that. I'm telling you that there has to be a way that you got brought into this thing that exposed you to all kinds of warfare, which is the next admonishment I'd like to give everyone who is on this call. You expose these people to warfare, because as far as the powers of darkness know, they got a newcomer to the field. Whether that person is adept, ready or not, it doesn't matter. They're doing their job. We have to be better at doing ours. So, Father, thank you right now for Nikki. Thank you for her stand. Thank you for her faith. Thank you for her determination, God. And thank you, Lord, for her strength, her stamina. Now, Father God, I'm asking that you would give her that visitation to clear up this matter for her once and for all. I'm asking that you would speak to her heart as only you can do, God. Talk to her in the way that she knows she's heard from her Heavenly Father. I'm asking that you would make plain to her what it is that needs to happen and where you're ordering her steps to go next. God, because I see her steps going someplace else. So I'm asking you to make it clear and then make the way. I'm asking that you would confirm your word to her again and again and again. In the interim, Lord, we're calling for mercy. And I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to have mercy on her and to cause her to get an income that will meet her needs and give her that economy as you walk her through the destiny plan that you have for her. And we bless you for doing it, Father. So I speak to the land, and I command the land, the resources in the land, to open up and employ this woman in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I decree it to be so. Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Keep me posted, beloved, because you're going to go to work, but you and God are going to finish this. You're very, very welcome. Amen. Okay, Ashley.
Amen. Guess what? It's the top of the hour, so we're going to do our top of the hour music and opener. And then after that, I think this is a definite appropriate time. You have a teaching that is online right now, and it is called The Comeback Plan. And I want to play a clip from The Comeback Plan and then tell everybody how they can actually go and go to your classroom, your online webinar series that we have and we're uploading, where they can actually purchase that and go to school to learn how to win, how to lose, and how to recover all.
Amen.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
But how many of you know success doesn't just fall on you? I mean, how many of you know success takes work? I know that when I first decided I was going to be successful, I thought I'd get up and do what I saw and it would work. I failed miserably. How about you? Did it again 2, 3, 4 times, still didn't work. It took a while for me to realize that it takes work to be successful. Even if you are a one-hit wonder, the rest of the hits are going to be training you to stay there. Saul was the first hit wonder. Showed up looking for donkeys, end up on the throne. How would you like that? No class, no training. No development, just, hey, you now own a country. Huh? Wait a minute. Nobody told me. I work for my father's business. What do you mean I own a country? Well, you do. You now own a country. You are now the guy who has to decide who wins the wars, who doesn't, who eats, who doesn't eat, who runs the government, who sits in the seat of government, who handles your minister. You're it. Tag, you're it. Now, I'll tell you something. When God makes you it too soon, he doesn't expect you to last too long. Write that in your notes. When God makes you it too soon, he doesn't expect you to last too long. David, on the other hand, 17 years of hell, tormented by the people in power, the powers that be, because they saw that he was the replacement. And so for 17 plus years, this man looks like the last thing that's going to happen to him is that the word of the Lord is going to come to pass. Some of you all know what I mean. I've told people when God gives you a powerful word, a really powerful word, he's going to give it to you when you know nothing. And you're going to think, hey, it's go time. Understand, on the heels of a powerful word is the highway to hell. Because success comes through the fire, through the storm, through the rain, through the hail, through hell. If you think you're supposed to make it like that, it's because you don't intend to be there long and you don't intend to be good at it. Because excellence takes time. Success takes work. Excellence takes time. I need you to hear that. My job as your pastor, as the apostle of this house and this move, my job is to make you successful. Now, God likes making people who've come from no place, going nowhere, successful. So we're all in good company. You ever notice that God will make, and if you are somebody, the first thing he's going to do is what? Make you nobody. God makes a nobody out of the somebodies so they can be everybody's champions. And so some of you all, you're like, hey, when we've had it, folk come through. Oh, no, I'm too big. I'm too great. Don't worry about it. If you're part of what God's going to keep, you're going under. Whatever God's going to keep, he's going to go. They're going to go under. First of all, you're going to be on the road to Damascus. Glory to God. Then God's going to knock you off your high horse. He's going to make you go broke or make you wish you were broke. And then he's going to make you nobody for you to be somebody.
Well, that's powerful. And that teaching is called The Comeback Plan. You can go to drpaulaprice.com. When you go, you will see that she has a whole new makeover look on the website. If you go to the left-hand panel, it says Shop for Products. When you click on there, go to webinars. You will see that option to enroll in that class. It will change your life forever. Every time I listen to it, I am just changed. A new person, new mindset, kind of smacks the warfare off of your head and gives you that real-world perspective. She breaks down Job, what really happened to Job, like how in the world did he really get there? And that is the foundational premise of that teaching. And she takes you all the way through from who Job was before the enemy hit him, why God let Satan smack him down, and then how and why he was brought back and recovered all and recovered more than all. So, Dr. Price, that's a powerful teaching that continues to just mushroom. I think you're still on mute on your phone, Dr. Price.
Am I unmuted now?
You are unmuted.
I am thoroughly unmuted. See, that's why I try to give you all of the buttons, because, see, when you have all of the buttons, things work on time. but anyhow, you sound like you're still on fire with the comeback plan. You know, I had fun ministering that because, you know, the essence of the plan is that God wants you to master winning, losing, and coming back to recover all, you know. And it really does talk about Job, but it's also David's thing of, you know, Lord, I'm done. I've tried everything I know how. I'm out. Now they've come and they stole my family and stole my heart's desire. Now what? And God said, yeah, I know. Go and get it all. And it's like when David managed to be as great a loser as he was a winner, meaning loving God through that, staying with God, understanding God's purpose, God said, well, now let me give you the comeback plan. Some of you on the phone today, as you go to that CD and you listen to it, you're going to find that God's going to whisper in your ear the steps to your comeback plan. Because truly, there are some interesting steps, but none of us have the same program. David had one, Peter had another. You look at all of the great giants that God has in Scripture that he walks you through. You're talking about Moses starting it out, you know, Abraham having to lose everything and try to, and then take down five nations with 300 soldiers. Come on, who does that? Comeback plan. And all the way down the line, God has a comeback plan for everyone. I mean, you know, right on down to Esther. If I perish, then I perish. This girl comes from nothing, wins the throne, and now it's all at risk. Because God wants her to know how to recover all. Because if you can recover your losses, then you'll recover God's. If you can keep your blessings, then you'll keep his. That's the whole strategy. So, Prophet Ashley, what do you got?
That's good. That's good. I have James Fairbanks back on the line. You ministered to him last week and totally flipped his paradigm. And he has since taken the assessment. He wanted to just call and share with you and everybody else his feedback about taking the assessment.
Well, I would like to hear that. That would be great.
Apostle James, you are live.
Good afternoon, Dr. Paula Price.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Obedience is better than sacrifice. I did register for the Tulsa Forum. Right now, I'm going for a trailblazing faith on a lot of this. Because when you gave me the instructions, I did it, but not in that particular order, because it's like I got registered. I just need to pay for that now. But when I basically took the assessment, there was a few credit glitches. But first of all, your people, including Miss Ashley, is super professional, including Bethany. But now the assessment. It is very comprehensive. And a lot of it was like, wow, that you have not only just know Bible, but also have revelation on a lot of fronts, but you really need the full 60 to 90 minutes, and it really does a number by the Holy Ghost on you.
By the Holy Ghost.
Because there were some, like, I mean, some questions were easy, other ones that were tricky, some you really had to, because it's like the way of the wording, like when it talks about manifestations and giftings, some would think, oh, yeah, it's the same, but I said it's different. And I would say with a lot of it would help me that with what you said and what came in my spirit, a lot more of this is making sense. But to give you an update, I should have a lot of this taken care of by next week. But in terms of this assessment, I would recommend it for anybody that's in a place of I don't know or what my next move is, because when you have that type of assessment, if they tell me that they don't know after that, I would say something is wrong.
You're like,
because
I
also have to share with you another thing, too. Since you said what you said in the word, the Lord's been bringing other people in the marketplace that I've never met before. And I've even met a person from South Africa that's going to be in Houston in July.
Uh-huh.
Because
wow.
When you mentioned about time and space, this is where I'm going into. Even for those that are on the line, and I would even say with you saying it, take the assessment because it's a blessing. And not only will help define placement, it will give you clarity of mind and purpose on a lot of fronts that you don't think it could, but it did me.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you for your comments and your feedback. And since you have been so obedient to God and so zealous to get on track with God, I am going to scholarship you for the forum. So I will pay your registration. Help me get it up. See, I was thinking of all three at once. I will pay your registration to the forum. You just call to Prophet Ashley. Dr. Price says she's scholarshipping me. Sign me up now.
Well, praise the Lord. It's like, thank you, Jesus. But when you told me that, I want you to know, because even though you were very serious, I wanted to let you know I was very serious, too. So when Prophet Ashley got on the phone, I said, it's me again. Not to be funny, but it was like after I took the assessment, I thought I had wisdom. What I got out of it, I need a lot more wisdom than what I already got now.
And you know what? You're in the frame of mind to get it. So that's what I'm going to do, because I don't invest in anything that won't invest in itself. And so I'm telling you, I'm going to pay your registration because I want to see you here, and because I like to get behind anybody who's ready to get up and run with Jesus. There are times that you help people because they can't get up, but the people that you're going to get the most out of are the people who are willing to get up and run. You think about Jesus with that parable, with the take up your bed and walk. Just get up and walk, you know? Why? Because God knows he'd keep walking for him. And God knows that you're going to keep walking for him. You're going to keep pressing on. So I'm going to see you in June because you're going to be at the forum, and you're going to be there as one of my scholarship guests. Hallelujah.
Oh, praise the Lord Jesus, because I'm letting you know, because what you told me, God said, just do it. I didn't basically question where it's going to come from, how it's going to come from, because when you gave me a specific directive, I'll tell you that whoever's on this line, fight against the enemy even if there's a credit glitch, because it drove me up the wall. I said, this is the devil just showing his head. And I called Prophet Ashley, texted her, and I mean, she could tell you that, and I'd be like, I hope this girl doesn't think I'm a nut here.
Well, she doesn't. So listen, we're going to move on, but I want you to know I'm looking forward to talking to you, and I know she cannot wait to hear you tell her the good news.
And I just wanted to say thank you, and you be blessed and keep up the great work.
Amen. Thank you, too. So we will talk again soon.
Okay,
Hallelujah.
No problem. Be blessed and take care.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, so Prophet Ashley.
Well, praise God. I tell you what, the kingdom needs more like him who are just willing to fight through until they get exactly what God said. And just talk about obedience to the letter. He was serious about that.
And quick,
serious.
You know,
yes.
Quick. You know, a lot of saints slow to obey. They get there eventually. By the time they do it, the windows closing, everybody moved on. They're like Kadesh Barnea. God was like, I was ready to fight yesterday. We off on another campaign today. You know?
That's true. Yeah, I mean, he was on the phone that day. Now, my money's coming in at this time. Can I do this in 2 pay? I mean, he worked it out because he was like, I need to be obedient. I need this breakthrough. But if this is what Dr. Paul Price said I need to do, then this is what I'm going to make happen. And I tell you what, at 1:30 in the morning, he was letting me know what was going on. But guess what? He got his breakthrough.
He did. And the Lord honors that. You know, God honors the fighters. You know, we think that God honors the whiners, but he really doesn't. He honors the fighters because God is trying to move forward. And if we can all get it in our mind that God is about moving forward, getting his plans done on schedule, because, you know, heaven has a schedule encoded in every event. So he wants to move forward, and we want to wait, you know, we're just waiting on the Lord. Lord's like, no, we're waiting on you, see, because we did this a long time ago. We've been waiting for you to get here. Now seize the day, grab the moment, and conquer your hour. Wow. Well, listen, I should have another call.
You do. God honors the fighters and not the whiners. You and Prophet Tala probably have that on her Facebook, because some good quotes from you. Okay, here we go. This is your girl, Nikki from Maryland. She is calling because she had, here's another uplifting call. She had a dream that she and her friend were coming to Tulsa, and so she would like for you to pray that that happened. She said, if I had the dream, then I need Dr. Price's prayer power behind that.
Oh, Nikki. Man.
Hi, Apostle.
Well, hello.
And I wanted to tell Ashley, no, we weren't going to Tulsa, but we were. I was saying it out loud after something happened. I said, we're on our way to Tulsa. So I wanted to pray for the strategy as to how we're going to get there, because we really want to come.
Well, I'm going to pray you right on in, and my prayer works. So the first thing we're going to do is say, thank you, God, for letting us know. You know, one of the things I will tell you about God, if he gave you a dream, all he wants you to do now is just step out on the water. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking that you would work out the miracles that are already in effect, already encoded in this world for Nikki and her friend to come to Tulsa. We want them at the forum, but God, you obviously have something for them there, because you only move us when you have a place of blessing. So I'm asking that you open up your resources, Father God. Open up donors, open up opportunities, find old money, find old debts that are due them. God, I'm asking that you settle old bills for them so that they get credit for what they've done. And then, Lord, I'm asking that you work with the powers that be. They get the time off. There are no glitches, no hitches, no hang-ups. I open this up to you. I release the resources, the opportunity, the favor, and the revenue for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let it be so. I'm going to see you in Tulsa, girl.
I'll see you too.
I'm looking forward to it.
God bless you.
God bless. All right.
I love it.
You know, I love it when God gets to working together, you know, because when God steps out of anonymity to tap you on the shoulder, that's a big deal. That means he has something going on. Because, see, God's got millions of angels, and he's got the Holy Ghost to give you an unction and a still small voice. So now he's got him giving you pictures. Now we're getting sight and sound. We got the moves.
That's right. And what I love are the people who recognize that's what God is doing, and they're like, we need to get some prayer power behind this right now to make it happen right now.
Amen. I'm there. All right. Who else do I have on the phone? You know, I'm on fire now.
Okay, you're on the line with Raven. If you can mute your the show playing behind you, great. Okay, this is Raven on the line. She's calling from Texas. I believe she's taking an assessment, and she needs prayer for wisdom, revelation, and direction. Raven, you're on the line with Dr. Price.
Hi, Dr. Price. How are you?
I am wonderful, Raven. You're from Texas, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
What part of Texas?
I live in Fort Worth.
Fort Worth. Yeah, I like Fort Worth. Very, very attractive city. Well, I'm glad to hear from you. How can I be a blessing to you today?
I just wanted to receive prayer. Basically, I was just calling in to get some prayer for wisdom in my life and just deeper revelation with God and just clear direction in my life. And to be honest with you, every time I call in and listen to you speak and pray for the other callers, even if I don't get through, it's like you automatically speak to me through all of their prayers. So just a prayer, a general prayer over my life, and that would be good for me today, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. God, I thank you so much for Raven. God, I thank you that she has put herself on a journey to pursue you, to chase you down, and to find you, Lord, and to be captured by your purpose and literally gripped in your destiny. I thank you for her. I thank you, Lord, for her to get the knowledge that she's asking for. I'm praying for mentors for her, God. I'm praying for advisors and counselors. I'm praying in the right program. I'm praying in the right church leaders, the right opportunities, God, because she's at a point where you can literally catapult her forward into her destiny at a rate that would have taken three times as long in the previous years. So, God, I'm asking that you do that you would put around her all of your protectors, your guardians, your directors and leaders, your guides. And God, I'm asking that you would have your way in her life. Just use this window right here, Lord Jesus, to have your way in her life, even with her friends, her colleagues, her relationships. Lord, use this time of complete and utter surrender to you, which is where she is right now. She's postured herself to surrender to you, to give you what it is that you want out of her. And so, Lord, use this opportunity to make your will known, to perform your will, fulfill your plan, and push her forward in destiny. And we thank you, Father, for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Whew. Amen. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're going to move quickly now, so stay in touch.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless.
You too.
Amen. Well, guess what, Dr. Price? Making another quick announcement, along with James Fairbanks getting sponsored by you, we also have a buy one, get one free Tulsa Prophetic Forum registration special from Friday, May 10th, which is tomorrow, through Wednesday, May 15th. That's buy one, get one free. That is just amazing. So everybody on the call who is pressing their way, they want to bring somebody else with them, even if there's somebody from another state. It doesn't even have to be someone in your church. So you say, hey, let's meet in Tulsa together in June, and let's do this forum thing together. Register tomorrow, the 10th through Wednesday, the 15th. Buy one, get one free.
Well, that sounds like Nikki and Marilyn have got half her problems settled, huh?
That's right. That's
so
right.
Now
we have. Go ahead.
Well, now we know we just have to bring in the airfare and the accommodations, but it sounds like she's got it good and settled.
That's right. I love the Lord for that. I know we have some groups that are coming, some people out of Chicago and some people out of Arkansas. And so the buy one, get one free is a better deal than the group rate. So get on board with that.
Absolutely. And listen, all of my late decision makers, don't miss the window, because God is doing something very precious and yet very catalytic. That's the word, catalytic, in this particular form. He's really catalyzing some things that he can push us forward, pull down obstacles, and lift up and energize those of us who are about to be moved. Many of you on the line have been in the cave for a long time, just, okay, God, when? Well, this is a catalyst, so don't miss this moment. Get on the phone and get your airline tickets and accommodations. Make the effort, because sometimes your blessing you want to come to you, you might need to come to it, you know? They had to go to Jerusalem. Sometimes you have to go to the place of your blessing, because that's where God is gathering the anointing for that particular thing. And then go back home and take your flame. And I'm telling you, there is a flame. So now I should have a couple of more callers. It looks like I got time enough for a few more people to pray with and talk to and all of that. Am I correct, Prophet Ashley?
You are correct, Apostle Dr. Paula Price. Okay, we have Porsche from
hello.
Washington. You had hello, you Dr. Price. You've spoken to her, actually, probably most of her family, her siblings and her mom. They're in different parts of the country, but she is calling today because she needs clarity concerning a job.
Okay, and what is your name again?
Porsche.
Porsche. P-O-R. Is it?
Yes. S-C-H-A-E.
Okay, because I want to get it right. S-C-H. Well, I like to get things, the right way. All right, I like that. So now, how can I be a blessing? I've met the kids. How many more of you are there? I need to know how big this family is. You guys may be a whole nation by yourself.
There's 13 of us all together, two girls and 11 boys.
Now, that's 13 siblings or the whole family or what?
That's siblings.
Oh, my gosh. And how many children of the children?
I have three. And so there's about 10 grandchildren.
Oh, my gosh. What a wonderful thing. This is a great family. I have to tell you, you know, God, you know, gifts and callings run in families. I said that to a church that I had been working with for recovery. You know, I do a couple of things. Help a church get out of crisis, and then I help the other ones get into the apostolic, and then the other ones get out of the apostolic that should have never gotten in there. But that's a whole other Thursday. But one of the things that I've told them as we go forward, which is why families are so important, is that gifts and talents run in families, and abilities run in family. You know, you think about the tribe of Issachar, you think about the tribe that God assigned to handle nothing but pottery. I mean, can you imagine? And, you know, we might say nothing but pottery, but let's talk about the Ming dynasty and the Ming vases and stuff. So that's not necessarily an insignificant destiny. Your family is one of those families. You guys are called for three things: art, business, and politics. You all have amazing art, business, and politics. You're going to have, I mean, first of all, you all are one of the strongest communicators, even from the youngest one, great communication abilities, great communication skills. I'm sure writers as well as speakers. But I'm telling you, that's the lineage on your family. You know, art, business, and politics. You all are going to be great as far as public advocacy. You can do those kind of, you know, public service jobs, humanitarian things, advisors, business, entrepreneurship, especially because there's a lot of ingenuity, innovation, and creativity. I can see you all as one of those families that can sit around the table and bounce ideas around like people bounce a ball. You know, wouldn't it be nice if, and folks should, and, you know, I'm really good at this, aren't we? So I told you, I know my job. So here we go. So God is bouncing these ideas around and all of these ventures to do. You all need to start hooking up and come up with venture capital, these people, so these visions can start happening. I see you all have this potential to do, you know, a lot of incubator businesses. You can do that. It's good to know what the Lord put in your family tree. It's good to know what he put in the lineage. And in your case, God put a wealth that goes down to four or five generations of rich ideas and fertile ground.
Wow.
For them to grow. Now, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, but you guys have one thing to fight, and that is you all have to fight this trained spirit of inferiority that hits every one of you when you're just about to break through. It is a weird spirit. It's a generation thing. All of a sudden, I'm not sure. Maybe it's not God. This probably wasn't a good idea. I should have done it. Listen, take my word for it. Those three things, and I could name four or five businesses, but what's the point? God is going to order your steps the way he wants to order them, but I'm telling you that, and I tell you something that one of you, I don't know which one it is an enormous trainer and can definitely have a school. So I hear God telling you that your family has no lack, no want of skills and resources, potential, or talents.
Wow.
You just don't lack them. And so I'm here to tell you that all you need to do is just pull your resume together, and it's almost like for whatever it is, and I'm looking back at a grandfather, and it's not even this grandfather, a great-grandfather. I see this white-haired man, and I'm telling you, this man had great vision, but he prayed awesome prayers for your family tree. He prayed that God would cause each and every one of you to inherit the blessings that his generation were deprived of because of the era. I'm telling you, you are. You all are in that era. Your family tree is in that era where God is ready to pay back those prayers, and he's ready to bring them forth. So pay attention to schooling and stop thinking that just because it's not happening to your friend, it won't happen to you. Stop thinking that, well, just because it didn't happen last year, it's not this year. I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God wants you to know your family is about to enter a boon of blessing because that man's prayer, he's standing in a field and he is very tired. And I'm telling you, as a mustache, a seamless man, he prayed and God answered that prayer. He's answered it by putting whatever was in his genetic line, the Lord sealed it in that line to come down to all your generations. Do not let your children get lost. Don't let them get caught up in crazy things. Put them in those special things, and don't allow them to tell you they can't do it, because this is a blessed family tree, says the Lord.
Mm.
I received. I didn't even get to tell you. So you spoke on it before I even said anything to you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm telling you. And
I am clear now.
I am clear. I'm telling you, you know, every now and then I get to see a family line, but I also get to see what God reconnects in those lines. And your line is that line. I'm telling you, it is going to be so wonderful for you all. Hopefully I'm going to meet you soon. I need to meet you all so I can pray and lay hands on you, because I got to kickstart your destiny. You guys got to get in place here. We can't leave you all hanging out there. When we get a word like that, you got to bring that thing into activation. And so I want to do that. Make sure we talk about that. I know that some of you are in touch with my staff at my office. I pray that you all make it in June. Bring the family. Come on, let's bring them. We're going to, you know, grease y'all up real good with some oil, get y'all all anointed up and ready to go forth and conquer kingdom.
Okay. Sounds good. Listen, I'll make a plan.
Well, work it out, sister, because I'm not saying it idly. I don't speak idly in the name of the Lord. I'm just telling you, you guys have just hit that stride in the spirit. Don't miss this window.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Well, Ashley, do I have some more people?
You do. You always have some more people, Dr. Price. Okay. We have Karen calling from Virginia, and she is calling. Okay, hold on. Having a technical issue here. All right. She is calling because you actually, months ago, had given her a word about a women's ministry she's supposed to do. And so she says she pulled some things together, but she needs direction on moving forward in that ministry. So, Karen, you are on live with Dr. Price.
Hello, Dr. Price. How are you?
How are you, Karen? Good to hear from you again.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to hear from you. I've enjoyed every day I listen on Thursdays. I really enjoy it. I wanted to tell you about something. I've been praying for the women's ministry that you had talked to me about. You said, don't forget about the women's ministry. And I had not done anything about that, but I have written out a summary for the women's ministry. But I'm calling for divine protection. I'm calling for direction and guidance in reference to that ministry.
Amen. Well, first of all, you are picking a great time. But I will tell you this. The next couple of weeks of this month, put in all, dot your I's, cross your T's, because May is your setup month, because God wants to birth this thing full scale in June.
Amen.
And he wants to birth it full scale, so I don't know whether it's a prayer thing, whatever you schedule, but make sure you do that. Also, I hear the Holy Spirit said that there are a couple of women in your vicinity. I don't know if they're in your close circle or if they're just in acquaintances. They are strong enough to help you not only pull this thing together, but to pull it forward into purpose and destiny. Don't try to do this alone.
Mm.
You have some smart people around you. You are a smart lady. So you have smart friends and smart connections. So I'm going to pray for the women that God chose, because he handpicked some people. And they might be people you know or people that you would even work with. You know, one thing I like us to learn about in the church is that everything doesn't have to be symbiotic. Some people, they may not be great for shopping. You don't want to go out to dinner with them. But, boy, when it comes to getting a project done, they're the first. So I'm asking God to connect you with those people so that you don't suffer step back and delays that you don't need. And so, because I'm going to pray for protection, but do you realize that protection comes from people?
Yes.
You know, sometimes we forget that, Tara. You know how we get. We get real spiritual. Come on, let the angels of God get around. That's good. The angels of grace, that's wonderful. But do we know when they show up and when they leave? We don't know. We're just,
right.
Now, that's a by faith thing. Okay, we just by faith know the angels of God are around. But are they? Okay, guys, where are you? Show yourself. They're not going to do that. But they are going to touch people who will show themselves, and people who will agree with you, and people who will help you and defend the idea and help you establish. So, you know, I'm going to pray for God to put these women around. It's about three women that God has chosen. Whether they all come at once, I don't know. I don't know whether they will or not, but I will tell you that they will come so that you can stand. Because here's what God said. He wants you to suffer no disappointment or lack in this venture.
Mm.
And I'm putting it on recording. You can go back and play it again and again so everybody can hear it. That is, it is not God's will that you suffer disappointment or lack in this venture. So let's set it up right. We're going to set it up just the way God needs it to be set up. That means you're going to get the right prayer team, because we need you to get a good prayer team of at least 5 women who are going to be a part of praying this thing through and keeping it going. And again, getting the right people. People bring open doors. People bring opportunities. People bring connections. They bring those things with them. That's the treasures that are hidden in the saints. So we're praying for that. We're praying for you to get the partners that you need. And then we're praying for favor. And also we're praying for, and I don't know what this means, Karen, but you can think about it later on, but a rearrangement, a reorganization of your house and your present life schedule. Because this is going to be more demanding than you imagine. Because when God wills for something to succeed, it can literally drown you. And you're going to succeed because that's his will for you.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm a caregiver for a brother here for the last 7 years, and it's been quite it's been a strain on me. So I've been praying about it and asking God for peace in the house, and that's been going on for about 7 years now. So I understand that.
Well, in order for you to do this, you're gonna God's gonna shift some things. Be prepared to shift, and don't let guilt weigh you down. You know, you tend to be so concerned about everything, and you let guilt weigh you down. Don't get caught up in that. Sometimes we just got to do what's expedient. You know, 7 years is a completion thing. So, but be prepared, because the Lord wants this to succeed, and he wants your skills. And that you know, you're a great intercessor. You're a great intervener, but you're a great intercessor. And your thing is going to start out like, okay, so we're going to start out with a little prayer. That's going to be great. And it's really, the prayer is going to be really laying the foundation, watering the ground for this thing to grow. Once the prayers grow, then other women have ideas, because God wants you to be able to have services that you render to the body of Christ. And so they're going to bring them. Don't be close-minded. And don't think that this thing has to go just one way. God is going to be very diverse in it, because you have so many great skills and so many great abilities. He's going to tap your resources extensively. And he's going to bring you people who are going to help make it happen. But he's also going to bring people that they're going to help you, but you're going to help them. This is going to be
Amen.
A team effort. And he said, think team.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I always laugh when you say that, because God has already started. Somebody's asked me, 2 people have already asked me about asking me to come into their ministry. And you just said something, and I have said, well, I'm going to pray about it, and I'll talk to you about it a little bit later. And someone else has called, and they're in the Marketplace ministry, and they're in Arkansas, and they've put a lot of money into this ministry, and I've been knowing them for a while, but God opened up that door for them to come back and start talking to me a little bit about the Marketplace ministry.
Exactly. You're going to be diverse, so don't think just, okay, I'm just going to do this one thing. That's why you have to clear your house, because you're going to be very diverse and very in demand. You're one of those people that it looks like God passed you over, now he's ready.
Amen.
You know, I mean, and isn't it like Jesus, you're going to wait till we're all tired, we're done, we're through, we done gave up, we finished, God. Oh, really? Okay, well, let's get you good and going. That's you. He's going to get you good and going right now. Your ladder is going to be greater. You're going to have a greater ladder. Then that's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
Father, thank you so much for Karen. Thank you for her vision, her dream. Thank you for the purposes that you've put in her heart, God. And now we thank you for orchestrating the steps of her plan and the visions, the steps of the organization you want her to build. Lord, bring in those women that you have ordained to be with her so that she's not trying to do this alone. And God, cause them to be like Aaron and Moses, that when they hear each other's voices, that they come alive, they enjoy peace and happiness come in their heart. Cause them to be in agreement, Father God, perfect agreement, so that your plan and your vision for that region does not suffer. And Lord, I'm asking that you would cause them, the meetings and conferences, to be not only harmonious but productive on every side. Lord, I thank you for resources coming along with each woman, and each woman bringing their fold into this fold, so that you can take the benefit, God, and work Jesus Christ through the benefit of the law of large numbers. Lord, that everything doesn't have to always be skimpy with you, but that you can start out with a force that will help you move in that land, shake some things loose, establish some new things, and get the glory for you to offer to your Father. In Jesus' name, Father God, I thank you for granting this prayer, anointing this woman right now. We anoint her with wisdom. We anoint her with insight. We anoint her with revelation and courage, boldness, and stamina. Lord, let her be steadfast in this thing for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus. Let me say this to you. I'd like to say this to you, Dr. Price. I was out there a couple of years ago. I enjoyed that. It really triggered something in me when I was at the conference a couple of years ago in Tulsa. I'm originally from Arkansas, and it's been just been great. Just listen to what you have said just over the phone has just sparked a lot of things in me and just gives me a lot of joy. Every time I talk to you, I want to just keep smiling. So I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying smile, 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 but anyway, I'm just happy that you're on the line. Thank you.
Well, thank you, too, and I appreciate the encouragement. God bless you.
And amen.
Amen. Prophet Ashley.
Yes.
Do we have any more callers?
We do. You have Philip, who is calling from Florida. And Philip would like prayer for members of his family in need of physical healing and salvation, as well as financial turnaround. Philip, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and God bless you, Apostle Price.
Thank you, and God bless you, Philip. I'm glad to hear your voice. You have a wonderful speaking voice. You ought to be doing radio or something. You have a great voice for it.
Thank you.
How can I help you?
Well, I'm calling. As I was sitting on the line, I had a very different question, and I was going to ask for some advice and counsel for myself, but as I was sitting here, I just sensed that the Lord said to ask for prayer for the things that Prophet Ashley mentioned. In particular, there are some members of my immediate family and extended family that are in need of physical healing. I'm believing the Lord for those things. My brothers and my father, in particular, for salvation. And then just to turn around in terms of finances, I know that it's the Lord's desire that, you know, we should live blessed and prosper. And so I kind of get the sense that maybe some things need to be realigned or shifted, and so I honor you and the gift of God in you, and just want you to agree with me and my family in prayer for those things.
Amen. I'll be glad to do so. I want to ask you a quick question, Philip. I just hear in your spirit that you have a great anointing for entrepreneurship. Have you done anything in that direction?
Well, last year I began what I call a ministry slash business. For a long time, I'm still a dancer and a singer professionally. I've worked on Broadway and a lot of things, and so the Lord has sort of transitioned me out of that as full time work and taking me more into ministry. But also, I believe that it will be business as well. So I began a company, an LLC, last year that I'm still praying about exactly how to really get established and move it into the place that the Lord wants it to be.
Now, what kind of company is this?
I call it a worship arts company. It's founded really around worship and the many different forms of worship. And so I don't know exactly how to make it a company, because really my thoughts about it are really in terms of ministry. And so it's hard for me sort of to reconcile the thought of ministry, but then doing it to make money. And I don't know exactly how to work those two things together in this aspect.
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you, Philip. Number one, you have great skill. You have a resume that is worthy of wages. So let's get that out the way. You know, this whole idea that we're supposed to go broke because we come from the world of Jesus Christ, that's not necessarily etched in stone when the Bible said a workman is worthy of his hire. So that's the first thing I want to tell you. Your company is the right company. It's called to do the right thing. I can't even tell you how many churches I go to. They say they got liturgical dance. I want to go home. I'm like, please help Jesus. Come on, God, please stop. How about this? I mean, they got these people just flopping on the floor, clopping and carrying on. So that's number one. You have a definite call, and that serious company, serious churches ought to bring you in for a weekend seminar and on a regular basis to help their people do that. Half of these people, their hearts are in the right place, but all they're doing is spinning around and holding their hands up to the sky. Give me a break already. That's not breaking through anything. So I would love to see a company like yours put together a wonderful traveling team of advice and training so that you can begin to do that. And, yes, charge for it. So that's the first thing I would say. Second thing I would say is that you put together instruction videos and put them online and have a pay-per-view. You can do a pay-per-view thing for that, and where you can just get basic stuff for churches. You know, is your church into liturgical dance? Does your church want to do a liturgical dance ministry, worship ministry, whether it's dance, singing, dance? I don't know. But I'm telling you, I think that that is something that you ought to do so that you're getting ongoing things. Make sure you do your training manual. There are a lot of, you have a wealth of wisdom in you. They do a lot of training manuals for you to begin to offer them as instructional things and make them very pictographic, because you know Saint's not going to read too deeply. So we need to make it so that they can get it. But again, that's a revenue for you. I also see you taking your company and offering your services when we do like cruises and they need to have, you know, entertainment and things like that. But there's a wealth of stuff for you to do. But the number one thing Jesus wants you to do is to upgrade the liturgical dance ministry in his churches.
Amen.
That's where his heart is, because he's having a problem with that. You know, just because God doesn't say, well, I wish it was better, doesn't mean that he doesn't wish it was better. You know, and I know I'm saying for him, I wish a lot of it was better. You know, even from costuming and I mean, even exercising and breathing. I mean, I've seen them by the time they can't even get through the whole song. They're on the side pole trying to tell me that's a dance move and all they're trying to do is catch their breath. I mean, like, help me, God. So I would love to see you do that. So there is a hope for you. Now, I didn't know that God said entrepreneurship. So there are a lot of things that you can do that'll just do basic marketing. I suggest you get yourself a consultant who does that and maybe a few advisors. But God wants your company, and he wants it to work, and he wants you to make sure that what he told you to do, you do, and that you keep it as pure and holy as you vowed to him you would.
Amen.
When you started it. You made a vow. He wants your vow. He's coming for your vow.
Amen.
And so it's going to be very interesting to see how you and God talk from now on, because he has big visions for you. I'm looking at his mind, and I'm in his mind right now, and he's got these real big visions for you. So I need you to stop thinking that that's something that God doesn't want to flourish and prosper, because he does. And I mean little kids. I mean, you can have a little dance school and starting with the little types so they can learn. And then, you know, the teenagers and things. There's a wealth of things for you to do. And since I'm talking about it, I know it's going to be blessed because of who I am, because I just blessed it.
Amen. I receive it.
So you're going to do okay. Now let's pray for your family. You're going to do really well with that. And don't get hooked up on that money. If the people don't want to pay, that's because they don't want to be excellent, because excellence is not free.
Amen.
Okay. Mediocrity is cheap, and inferiority is free. Excellence takes time, energy, and money. It costs something. So don't get caught up in that. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for Philip and his family. Lord, I'm asking that you would send forth the healing balm of Gilead into the house. Lord, I'm asking for healing from disease, from arthritis, from diabetes. Lord, I'm asking for the healing from gout. I'm asking, God, for you to heal him from indigestion, heart issues, and blood issues. Lord, we send forth the healing balm from your throne into this family line. And, God, we ask that you would set every captive free, even those that are struggling with mental issues. We set them free right now in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, I rise up in my seat as your apostle, and I come against the spirit of unbelief binding his father and his brothers in Jesus' name. Now, I send forth the right messenger and the right preacher of the gospel, the one to answer the question that keeps them bound. And God, I thank you that when that connection is made, they will come to the cross of Jesus Christ, and they will repent of their sins, and they will receive the saving grace and the blood of the Lamb.
Thank
in
you,
Jesus' name, let it be so. We decree and declare it is done.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. So keep me posted so I can hear about this business.
I will. Thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you too. Bye-bye. Prophet?
Now, Dr. Price, you know you're not right for that, talking about those winded dancers trying to hold up a pole.
Now, you know, we were just someplace when we saw that, did we not? I'm like, come on, baby, that's not a move. That is not a lean. It's not even stylish, you know? You're just trying to catch your breath.
Praise God. I wasn't ready. I'm glad I have myself muted because that would have been embarrassing.
But you know what? Well, because you know what? Sometimes when people realize that just because they're offering it with a pure heart, that they're delivering to us a pure art, you know, when they realize that's not necessarily the case, that's not true, then we'll start getting better stuff. I believe God is the God of excellence, and I don't think excellence is a magical pill. You don't take a pill. You got to go to training. You got to do some exercising, and you need to go to the specialist. That's why God has specialists. So let's go to people who are doing that. It's an investment. If you're going to put your folks out in public, then let's make sure that they put their best foot forward.
Amen. Can we? And that people know, you know, they know out there, and there are professionals in the seats, but that was just, that was you.
Pray for me, baby. Just pray for me.
Without ceasing. Okay. So as a quick recap, because we are at the end of another powerful 2 hours, this weekend, Tulsa Prophetic Forum, starting tomorrow through Wednesday, buy one, get one free, May 10th through the 15th, Friday through Wednesday, the 10th through the 15th. This will be up on Facebook. It's also already been blasted out in the email, and we'll be back around. Take advantage of that. Today, Dr. Price sponsored Apostle James Fairbanks for the Tulsa Prophetic Forum in June. And so be on the lookout because you always want to tune in. You never know what we're going to give away. Also today, Dr. Price put out there that we want a new title for whatever this is turning into on Thursday. And so she wants you, our listeners, our faithful followers, to send us your recommendations and your suggestions for what should we call this Thursday show now. So you can message her on Facebook. You can message me, Prophet Ashley Clater, on Facebook as well. You can email Dr. Price at drprice@ppmglobalresources.com, as well as just reply to the email that is sent out to you from us. So it can be just that simple. Just hit reply. Prophet Adia will get the email and forward it to Dr. Price so she can, so we can review those. I'm sure some of them will be very creative for that. And as well as the comeback plan. Don't forget, I mean, we talked about coming back, winning, losing, recovering all. To go to Dr. Price's website and click on the side link to purchase products and go to that webinar, you'll be able to see her teaching slides on the screen, follow with her notes as she goes through it. So this has been a powerful, amazing 2 hours. Dr. Price, do you have any closing thoughts or maybe a powerful closing prayer?
Well, I do have a closing prayer, and that is that, number one, I ask God, just these 3 things, I ask God to continue to keep all of these people who join me every week in his love, in his purpose, but in the light and illumination of his revelation. Let them hear from him. I'm asking God to make his voice and his thoughts known to each and every one of them. I'm asking God to watch over every word that I spoke, that it would fall on good ground, that they would hear and that they would comprehend it, and they would be guided by his precious Holy Spirit, who is in us to show us things to come and to tell us what we are to do. So I ask him for that as the second thing. And the last one, I'm asking God to prosper each and every soul that's on this call and everyone that hears it. You know, actually, a lot of people have been passing these calls on and telling their friends about it, so we get a lot of re-listens throughout the week. But I'm asking that they would value the counsel and value the wisdom and act on it. You know, Apostle James was wonderful. He was, let us know, I took it seriously, because this is not just a Paul and Price thing. This is God setting aside this time to speak to you, not from the pulpit, not over a long therapy session, but to set aside the time to address your issues and to give you his mind. My passion, Jesus Christ, is that I can bring not just his word, but his wisdom to the body. And that's what I'm praying for, to bring his word and his wisdom. So, Father, bless everybody who's on the line today. Seal your word to performance. God, cause each and every person who called you to come back and listen again and again and enrich what you what they've heard. Amplify them, God, so that they can go forward and fulfill destiny. I'm asking you, Lord, for those that you've ordained to come to the forum, I'm asking that you would provide supernatural resources and revenue as well as favor for them to get here so that each and every person will not only get your mind for a few minutes on the phone, but get a chance to sit with you for 3 full days to hear what's on your mind and what's in your heart concerning them. I'm also asking, God, that you meet every need. We send forth healing to everybody. We send forth deliverance to every soul, and we send forth victory to every life in the awesome name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we love you, and I love these people. Guys, I know you might hear people say it lightly. I don't. I'm looking forward to meeting you all, hugging you, and loving you because you are some special people, and because we click. I can feel on the line. We click, and I love that. Talk to you next week. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us on the Paula Price Show. If you would like to attend one of Dr. Price's upcoming events, book her for your own event, purchase products, or take a ministry assessment, visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com or by phone at 877-419-1299. If you like what you heard today, become a Paula Price Show supporter for just $15 per month. That number again is 877-419-1299 or visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com.